But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the Republicans' plan to take away a married woman's right to vote, move on to calls for the current regime to defy court orders, and follow all of that up with a bit of quid pro quo between the U.S. Attorney General and a corrupt New York politician. Let's begin, shall we? Well, we're a month and a half into the final season of the United States of America, and holy forkin' shirtballs, it's a lot. Republicans on Capitol Hill are introducing legislation to abolish OSHA because apparently making sure employees work in a safe environment is some woke left agenda. And they're paving the way for their dear leader to colonize Greenland and rename it something that sounds like a suggestion from the snot-digging apprentice, commonly known as Little X.
A House Resolution 1161 was introduced by Buddy Carter of Georgia that advocates not only for Donald Trump going to acquire Greenland, but then renaming it to Red, White, and Blue Land.
What? Red, White, and Blue Land. Seriously, what in the fascist reboot of Idiocracy is going on in the House right now? We've got some small dick energy with the whole renaming essentially 200 nautical miles of water out of a total of 617,800 nautical miles of water, forcing pilots to sound like chuds on the intercom because now they have to say cringe like this.
Attention on board, ladies and gentlemen, if you could please direct your attention out the right side of the aircraft. Air Force One is currently in international waters, the first time in history flying over the recently renamed Gulf of America. Please enjoy the flight.
Oh yeah, that does not sound stupid at all when you say it out loud. Makes about as much sense as confirming a lush to run the Department of Defense, who can't speak to the press at a NATO conference without sipping on a double shot of whatever he's got stashed at the podium while cameras caught him getting drunk on the job, not once, not twice, but six times. Thanks, Congress. Oh, and before I forget, on behalf of the 8 out of 10 women in this country who changed their last name when they got married, yours truly included, I'd like to say fuck all the way off for this. Roll tape.
Congress is quietly advancing legislation that could disenfranchise millions of eligible American voters. The Republicans' Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE Act, expected to be taken up in the House next week, would impose new national voter registration requirements, forcing citizens to present a passport or birth certificate every time they register or update their registration after moving. This unprecedented mandate could prevent millions from voting, particularly older Americans, young voters, people of color, and married women who have changed their last name.
They are coming after women's suffrage, women's right to vote. The SAVE Act, that within it restricts married women's ability to vote. As part of the law, it requires that the name on your voter ID that you show when you go to the polls match that on your birth certificate. Now, when women get married in this country, the majority of them change their last name to that of their husbands. Their ID no longer matches what's on their birth certificate, their maiden name. Under this law, they would no longer be allowed to vote. Only their husband would be allowed to vote. There is nothing in the law currently that has any provision for name changes for marriage. And this honestly is straight out of Project 2025, where they want the man or the head of the household to have the one vote for the entire family. So this is the first step in attacking a woman's right to vote.
First, they came for our uteruses. And then they defined sexual orientation as defined at the moment of conception, which is still funny as fuck because that means the United States government does not recognize men as a sex. thanks to the biological fact that we are all women until about 11 or 13 weeks into gestation. But now, the Republican Jesus freaks are coming after rights given to women 105 years ago through one of the last patriarchal holds that America has on women, marriage. I mean, how seriously messed up is that? I think the religious incels running white nationalism would have a special place in their heart for those beloved pick-me's, but dude said no. Makes me wonder if the maggot chicks are experiencing any voter remorse, considering this is just the second step in eventually returning them to their default setting, being property of a man. And while those poorly educated, plastic-covered pieces of shit consider their life choices, it looks like the lying to the public in order to get your first concentration camp up and running is just par for the course.
The Trump administration is sending nonviolent, low-risk migrant detainees to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Remember, just last month, President Trump said,
"Today I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay." Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back. So we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will double our capacity immediately, right? And tough. That's a tough place to get out of.
And since then, U.S. officials, including Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, have touted flights that have included migrants who they say are suspected gang members, as well as migrants with serious criminal records that include rapists and murderers. But internal government documents that we obtained here at CBS News, Lindsay, show that in addition to that population, the Trump administration has also been sending migrants who are considered to be nonviolent and also low risk. What does that mean? Well, these are migrants who are in the country illegally, who lack legal status, Lindsay, but otherwise do not have any serious criminal record.
Yeah, we're talking about three Venezuelan men whose only crime is entering this country illegally, according to ProPublica and the Texas Tribune. These men aren't rapists. They don't belong to a gang. They haven't murdered anyone. Sure, they entered through the back door, but since then, they've gotten jobs that white people don't want to do, taken care of their families, and been productive members of their communities. Any reasonable person would say that these guys don't deserve to be held hostage at Gitmo. But we're not dealing with reason when it comes to the Trump regime, because according to Propaganda Barbie, all illegals are criminals.
Of the 3,500 arrests ICE has made so far since President Trump came back into office, can you just tell us the numbers? How many have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally?
All of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws and therefore they are criminals as far as this administration goes. I know the last administration didn't see it that way, so it's a big culture shift in our nation to view someone who breaks our immigration laws as a criminal, but that's exactly what they are.
So what we have here is an argument of semantics fueled by the cruel and unusual punishment approach to this stupid reimagining of Nazi Germany. Although I have to give it to Assolioni for establishing a concentration camp in a month and a half when it took OG Schmittler 3 months to do the same thing. Way to go, you candy orange colored douche. You've got the entire country feeling some type of way, so much so that this guy Todd decided to write a little jingle about how everyone's doing since January 20th.
We're in the middle of a hostile government takeover. I want to talk about it, but I'll be late for work. And if you're saying, wait a minute, who we have to stop this? We have one, but you didn't want the lady in office. Now that we're a part of a Nigerian Stand. Surprise, surprise, it ended up being a white man. Oh, I just want to know, what the hell do I do? Probably drink.
Why not? The Secretary of Defense has a handy-dandy shot or six of whiskey with him at all times, so What's good for unqualified weekend hosts from Fox Not a News Channel must be good for the rest of us. Although, the price of alcohol in general is up thanks to those tariffs the copper-colored con man put in place, so that might reduce the amount of on-the-job drunks we see. Unless you work for Pete Hegseth. And while we're on the subject of unqualified people in positions of power, because a billionaire who knows a lot about those voting computers paid for their seat, did you know that in the American justice system, the guy occupying the White House doesn't have to obey the laws of this country? I know, it's a crazy thought. And definitely solidifies that old two-tiered system we've been hearing so much about lately. But according to Vice President J.D. Mascara and his boss, Ilanald, judges can't tell the commander in coif what to do.
After a federal judge yesterday temporarily blocked Elon Musk and Doge staffers from accessing Treasury Department payment systems,
Vice President J.D. Vance, he had some interesting words about the separation of power and government.
If a judge tried to tell a general how to conduct a military operation, that would be illegal. If a judge tried to command the attorney general on how to use her discretion as a prosecutor, that's also illegal. Judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power.
Elon Musk is calling for the impeachment of federal judges who ruled against his Doge agenda.
Elon took to Twitter, writing, "A corrupt judge protecting corruption. He needs to be impeached now."
19 states' attorneys general filed a lawsuit, and early Saturday, a judge agreed with them to restrict Elon Musk and his government efficiency team, Doge, from accessing Treasury Department payment and data systems. They said there was a risk of irreparable harm. What do you make of that, and does that slow you down? What you want to
do. I disagree with it 100%. I think it's crazy.
Oh, you think being held accountable is crazy? Whatever gave you that impression? Yeah, I'm looking at you, Judge Juan Michon and Special Counsel Jack Smith. So, now that a 34 times convicted felon who saw zero jail time for his crimes and had two federal cases of stealing classified documents and inciting an insurrection dropped once he rigged his way back into the White House, thinks he's above the law? Is it any wonder he refuses to comply with a Republican-appointed federal judge telling him to unfreeze the payments he was previously told to unfreeze while saying shit like this in front of cameras?
Tens of billions of dollars that we've already found. And now a judge who's an activist judge wants to try and stop us from doing this. Why? Why would they want to do that? I campaigned on this. I campaigned on the fact that I said government is corrupt. And you'll go to a judge where they handpick a judge and he has certain leanings. I'm not knocking anybody for that, but he has certain leanings. And he wants us to stop looking. And it seems hard to believe that judges want to try and stop us from looking for corruption, especially when we found hundreds of millions of dollars worth, much more than that, in just a short period of time. And it seems hard to believe that a judge could say, we don't want you to do that. Well, so maybe we have to look at the judges, because that's a very serious, I think it's a very serious violation.
Of course you do. I mean, why wouldn't you think it's a violation for anyone to say no to you when you've gotten away with so much in such a short amount of time? And I know Maryland's very own Jamie Raskin, who prosecuted Eric's dad for withholding congressionally appropriated funds to Ukraine until he got dirt on Joe Biden, has this fabulous idea for filing a nationwide class action lawsuit against the Fantafascist and apartheid Clyde for accessing everyone's private data, and a nation built on the rule of law. This idea, chef's kiss. There's just one jab of the gut-sized problem with that whole solution, you know, going through the courts. And I'm going to let this lawyer and ex-husband of the woman who coined the phrase alternative facts, Mr. George Conway, explain it to you.
But the fact of the matter is he's telling us something that we should have already known. They are not going to obey court orders. They have decided that they are going to push the boundaries on executive power. There's no reason that this government that has decided not to obey the laws and the Constitution of the United States is going to obey a court order. There's really only one way that courts can enforce their orders when somebody is being contumacious and refusing to obey an order. And that's to send the U.S. Marshals out to take somebody in and to hold them in contempt or to otherwise enforce court orders. Well, who does the U.S. Marshals Service work for? The U.S. Marshals Service is part of the United States Department of Justice. It reports to Donald J. Trump. And what's going to happen here is that at some point, they are going to basically tell the United States Marshals Service, do not enforce any of these orders. We will not obey them, and you are not to enforce them. And once that happens, our 236-year experiment in the federal rule of law, in democratic self-governance for the United States of America, in American constitutionalism, is essentially over.
I gotta say, Georgie boy ain't wrong. For the last 4 weeks, we've seen the Trump regime break the law, defy court orders, and imbue the sleaziest billionaire with the power to run the United States government with a crew of barely legal MAGA morons that should have never had H-1B visas to begin with. Because if you call yourself big or hairy balls on the internet, do you even have any? Which brings me to the moment that will go down in history as the beginning of the fall of America. And no, I'm not talking about when Adolf Hitler's mini-me told the presidents to shut his fucking mouth and go away because he's not the president. Which was epic, by the way, and terrifying all at the same time for the simple reason that exchange was giving serious comic book villain origin story. Now, I'm referring to the unelected bureaucrat in the Oval Office, dressed like he just raided a 90s goth tribute secondhand store, talking about what it means to have a democracy. Who, by the way, had the sense to dress his 4-year-old up like Patrick Bateman, even though it's not Halloween, but couldn't be bothered to follow the presidential code himself, said this without a shred of self-awareness.
At a high level, if you say, what is the goal of DOGE, or I think a significant part of the presidency is to restore democracy. This may seem like, well, aren't we in a democracy? So it's incredibly important that we close that feedback loop, we fix that feedback loop, and that the public's elected representatives, the President, the House, and the Senate, decide what happens, as opposed to a large unelected bureaucracy. And if you asked the founders today and said, what do you think of the way things have turned out? Well, we have this unelected, fourth unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative.
We're going to interrupt this pablum to fact check it a little bit. One, irony died while he was talking. The only unelected party in any of this is Elon Musk.
And would someone please give Cybercuck a mirror? Because I did not have unelected special government employee immigrant from apartheid-era South Africa lecturing the American people on what a democracy is from the Oval Office on my 2025 bingo card. Especially one who's been given power over the entire federal government via a newly sharpied executive order. That's right, kiddies. Phony Stark was just given the green light to install his merry band of 19 to 24-year-old hackers to oversee every department in our government, essentially forcing everyone to get President Muskrat's douche of approval before doing anything. And that scares every ounce of shit in me for reasons, lots of them. But starting with this one.
People who come to work for the federal government, if you're a cabinet official, you have to go through these big hearings. A lot of people have to go through background checks. A lot of people have to go through security checks. They get security clearance. What kind of background checks or transparency into the background of Mr. Musk or the people that are working for him has been done? Do you know, Mr. DuBois?
I don't know the background checks. I know President Trump had an electoral mandate to create DOGE.
No, I understand that. But he has his electoral mandate to hire cabinet officials, but they have to go through hearings and things like that. Mr. Sepp, do you know how these people were vetted?
No.
Mr. Ladwa, do you know how they were vetted?
No.
Ms. Kocialek, do you know how they were vetted?
We have not looked at these specific individuals.
Ms. Olson, do you know how they were vetted?
No.
What kind of access does Mr. Musk and his team have? What kind of changes have they been making to the computer programs? How many of those changes to computer programs are permanent? And how will that affect people going forward? Mr. Dubois, what's he doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
You don't know.
I think
okay.
he's
Mr.
looking
Sef, do you
at...
know what he's doing?
No.
Mr. Ladd, do you know what he's doing?
It would be inappropriate me for comment on
Ms. Kocialek, do you know what he's doing?
We have not looked at that.
Ms. Olson?
No.
Does anybody here know what they're doing? Does anybody know what kind of keystrokes changes they're making and they're permanent? Does anybody know what their backgrounds are? Does anybody know what they're doing with the information that they have?
Of course no one knows how the South African dipshit was vetted. Because, and this might come as a shock to those of you in the back, he was not vetted. He filled out a financial disclosure that will not be made public, and there's no public knowledge of him passing any background check by the FBI. Because, honestly, he couldn't. Elon, the special schmuck, may be designated as a part-timer for the Trump regime, but he's got a full-time gig being the Heil kind of business douche countries like Russia and China want to have all-night conversations with. Not to mention, a few of his companies receive an obscene amount of taxpayer-funded welfare, apartheid Clyde affectionately refers to as his net worth. Oh, and let's not forget all the government agencies that were investigating how American taxpayer dollars are being spent by the South African welfare queen. What's up with that?
Trump has hamstrung the National Labor Relations Board and the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. Those agencies are handling 24 workers' rights investigations and at least one big lawsuit alleging racial harassment at Elon Musk's company. Trump has also fired FEC Commissioner Ellen Weintraub, effectively shuts down the FEC, which police's campaign finance violations. That's the same FEC that was overseeing complaints from this last election about Elon Musk giving people million-dollar checks to, quote, encourage voter registration. Phyllis Fong, the Inspector General for the Department of Agriculture. Well, it turns out in 2022, Phyllis Fong, quote, opened an investigation into Elon Musk's brain implant startup company, Neuralink, stemming from allegations that Musk's company had, quote, mistreated dozens of test monkeys. Trump has also fired the head of the Office of Government Ethics. That is the agency tasked with investigating right now whether or not the Doge project is itself a conflict of interest for Elon Musk. Take, for example, him wanting to expand Twitter or X so that it also involves a payment system. That is something that would be regulated by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, and then announces CFPB RIP, claiming credit for personally killing that agency, which takes the agency off the board as a potential regulator for this thing he has just announced he wants to do with his business.
Damn, they aren't even hiding their corruption. I guess it's good to be an unelected bureaucrat when all the agencies investigating you for potential crimes have their heads cut off and their staff sent home before they can finish exposing what you've been doing. And the worst part is, Americans are paying for this. We pay him $7 million a day to do this to us. Oh, and we're also talking about tens of billions of dollars between SpaceX and Tesla, although Muskrat will be receiving a bit less in 2025 thanks to NPR discovering this little nugget.
The Trump administration is expected to purchase $400 million worth of Tesla vehicles.
One item stuck out of a long list of procurement contracts. It's from a State Department document for fiscal year 2025. An expected $400 million purchase of so-called armored Teslas. It didn't specify what model, but Tesla's stainless steel Cybertruck could be an option. After reports circulated of the lucrative federal contract, the State Department document was edited. The word Tesla was removed. It now says the $400 million purchase is for, quote, armored electric vehicles.
Many versions later...
The State Department says it's abandoning its plan of purchasing $400 million of armored Tesla vehicles. Everything seemed to change once the contract gained wide attention. The State Department planned to make the purchase in September. And the document didn't specify which Tesla vehicle, but Elon Musk has compared the Cybertruck to a futuristic battle tank. But now the Trump administration is backing away. The White House says the contract was started during the Biden White House and is now indefinitely on hold.
Oh, it's so sad. I mean, what's Elon Musk going to do with all those swastika trucks he's got lying around because no one wants them anymore? What with Tesla's stock going down 30% and sales dropping by more than 60% across the globe? Oh, sounds to me like Space Karen's going to have a lot more time on his Nazi-saluting hands to rummage through the U.S. government and post classified information to his douche site. Yeah, that is our reality. And he did that on Valentine's Day. On Doge.com, Harry Balz had his minions post classified U.S. intelligence data, including budget and personnel details, on the National Reconnaissance Office, the department tasked with designing and operating U.S. government satellites. Information, I'm sure, Russia's littlest dictator and any of the other members of the International Legion of Doom would love to have. Now it's all there in a fifth grade level spreadsheet posted on the internet thanks to the inefficiency of an unelected bureaucrat. Or how about that time the mediocre man-child went looking for government waste and fired 300 to 400 of the staff for the National Nuclear Security Administration because he didn't know what the fuck they do. The billionaire Mensa reject thought they were wasting money for sitting on America's most secret information, so he told them to take a hike. And then he had to ask them to all come back to work because without them, no one is protecting America's nuclear arsenal. With no guarantee that they will actually come back to work, or all of them will, because they were so rudely fired. But hey, not to worry, because the dark maggot will admit he's not always batting 1,000 in his new role as an unelected bureaucrat. And sometimes, folks, he's going to make mistakes.
Mr. Musk, you said on X that an example of the fraud that you have cited was $50 million of condoms was sent to Gaza. But after fact check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique, and the program was to protect them against HIV. So can you correct the statements? It wasn't sent to Hamas, actually. It was sent to Mozambique, which makes sense why condoms were sent there.
Yeah.
And how can we make sure that all the statements that you said were correct, so we can trust what you say?
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000.
So claiming to ignorantly lie to your shareholders might work. I can see that. But you're lying to the American people about 150-year-olds getting Social Security payments and redefining the word fraudster to include people who complain that they haven't received their payments. And you're bullshitting about government employees' net worth exceeding their pay must mean that they are stealing taxpayer money, coming from someone who previously had to bribe politicians to get his way before he used his knowledge of voting computer systems to get Mango Magoo back into the White House. Not to mention, but I'm going to do it anyway, that racist garbage you told the public about FEMA paying for luxury hotel stays for illegal immigrants in New York and then clawing back that money. Roll tape.
Illegally revoking $80 million appropriated to New York City from FEMA by just straight up, get this, taking it out of the city's bank account somehow?
The federal government clawed back more than $80 million given to the city to house migrants.
New York City Comptroller Brad Lander, he says his office found over $80 million missing from the city's accounts. FEMA funds, he says, were awarded to the city to house asylum seekers.
These are folks who, for the most part, registered with the federal government when they crossed, in many cases got sent here by the federal government. New York City stepped up to provide shelter and services and pay for that.
Sending $59 million to a migrant hotel to house illegal immigrants when there are still people in North Carolina and California who have not received FEMA funding is not something that this administration is going to tolerate.
That from White House officials during a briefing after the funds were seized.
The use of government money was discovered by Elon Musk, who noticed the expenditure in the agency's shelter and services program.
Oh, you know, I can just imagine the muskrats squealing when he found $59 million from the Shelter and Services Program, a program under the FEMA umbrella, and then had that money taken out of the reimbursements from FEMA to New York for providing luxury hotels for illegal immigrants, and following all of that funding fuckery up with an appearance by the worst excuse for a lawyer Florida can ever offer anyone, and newly crowned Queen of Justice, Pam Bondi, who said this in the most Karen-y way possible.
The Attorney General is announcing the Trump administration is now filing charges against the state of New York and its top officials. Why?
New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today. New York didn't listen. So now you're next.
We have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. We sued Illinois.
Attorney General Pam Bondi backing up Elon Musk, not shy at all about saying that this could go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It seems that this administration is prioritizing going after its enemies. It just brings me back to some of the statements that the Attorney General made during her confirmation hearing, promising that the Department of Justice would not be used in this way.
Well, I could have told you that a woman who dropped a lawsuit against Drumpf University for defrauding its students out of millions after receiving a $25,000 check from the Floridian fraudster himself would definitely use her position as U.S. Attorney General to do some revenge, you know, using the law. But nobody asked me. So here we are. And for exposition purposes, let me explain a few things that Legal Eagle Pam should know before filing a frivolous lawsuit. First off, we're talking about migrants, not illegal immigrants. A migrant is someone who did not cross our borders illegally, but who is in the process of obtaining legal migration to the United States. Secondly, what Phony Stark and Ambulance Chasing Pam call luxe rooms at a posh hotel are actually renovated like a Howard Johnson Inn until recently dilapidated Roosevelt Hotel. New York paid for the failing hotel, paid for the renovations, all of this money up front to house asylum seekers, refugees. People who are in the middle of getting their citizenship but need a place to stay because this process takes 1 to 2 years or more. And I, for one, cannot wait until Pammy has to present her evidence in court because New York, they have receipts. Literally. Which reminds me, while she's embarrassing herself defending the petulant pimples lies in New York, there's another corruption that came to the surface. In New York.
The acting U.S. attorney out of Manhattan, now one of three prosecutors who we learned are stepping down. They're refusing to follow orders to drop corruption charges against the city's mayor, Eric Adams. A letter from Danielle Sasson talking about a meeting at the end of January where she says Adams' attorneys, quote, repeatedly urged what amounted to a quid pro quo, that the mayor could help the Justice Department on enforcement priorities only if the indictment were dismissed. And two sources say that when she refused, the DOJ reassigned the case to two other people who also refused to drop the case and resigned. Remember, Mayor Adams had faced up to 45 years in prison on charges related to wire fraud, bribery, accepting donations from foreign nationals in Turkey.
Responding to the Southern District of New York's refusal to drop this case against Adams, Bavay writes to Danielle Sassoon, quote, you indicated that the prosecution team is aware of your communications with the Justice Department, that it is supportive of your approach and is unwilling to comply with the order to dismiss this case. Accordingly, the assistant U.S. attorneys principally responsible for this case are being placed on off-duty administrative leave pending investigations by the Office of the Attorney General and the Office of Professional Responsibility, both of which will also evaluate your conduct.
Now former U.S. Attorney Danielle Sassoon quit her job because she would not drop a case against New York Mayor Eric Adams after Orange Felonious' Pam the Scam Bondi told her to. Sassoon spilled all the tea in her resignation letter and even had the press publish it so everyone knew what was going on behind the scenes. See, back in September of last year, Mayor Eric was caught with bribe money, cash from foreign nationals, and even promising a high-rise opening without a fire safety inspection for one of his buddies. That case hadn't seen a courtroom yet, and Pammy went through Sassoon and seven other attorneys before she finally found one that would drop the case against Eric in exchange for his cooperation in rounding up brown people in his city. Because when you're a corrupt motherfucker who sells out anyone a shade lighter than you to avoid jail time, the unelected bureaucrat running America lets you go as long as you serve the empire. Which is why I completely agree with this next song. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. To Dare for now.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.